You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Go Wild. Go Wild is the fastest growing social media app for outdoor enthusiasts. If you love to hunt, if you love to fish, if you love to hike, if you love to camp, if you like to be outdoors, then you need to download the Go Wild app. It's a perfect place for you to join a community of people, like-minded people who enjoy the same things that you do. You won't be persecuted for posting a trophy pic. You won't be persecuted for, you know, posting meat or whatever like they do on, you'll get some haters every once in a while on Instagram and Facebook. But I think it's a really good place for you to not only share what you do, but join a community, and that allows you to meet other people. And who knows what happens when you meet other people. A specific example of is I posted a comment or something about shed hunting, and I met a guy who shed hunts near me, and I think we're going to team up and go on a shed hunt together this fall. This spring. So if you haven't had the opportunity, go to the Google Play Store, download the Go Wild app, and if you want some more information, you can also go to their website, timetogowild.com. Get outside. It's time to go wild.
Welcome to the Transition Wild Podcast, the home for those looking for expertise and inspiration on all things Western big game hunting. I'm your host, Adam Parr, and you're listening to episode number 36, where we talk with Charlie Williams on backcountry hunting photography. Hello, how's it going? Thanks for tuning in to the Transition Wild Podcast, hosted on the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network. I love you guys. Thanks for coming back each week and tuning in. I really, really appreciate you. You can always subscribe to the podcast by going to sportsmansnation.com, or you can search Transition Wild on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and wherever else you listen to this damn podcast at. So make sure you subscribe and leave those 5-star reviews. They're starting to roll in now, and I really appreciate it. So again, thanks for the support. I'm not going to mess around today. I just want to jump right into it. Today on the show, I have my good buddy, Charlie Williams, and we grew up together, went to the same middle school, high school in Michigan, and Charlie's been a good buddy for a long time, and the last couple years, he's been out hunting in Colorado and chasing elk. A couple years ago, he shot a sweet bull, and over the last like three or four years, he's really gotten into photography, and he's really taken it to the next level over the last 12 to 18 months. He's self-taught, and on today's episode we're kind of just talking about not necessarily like kind of the whole ins and outs of like adjusting your, you know, doing everything manually and going through each like individual setting on the camera to get certain shots you want. It's more like kind of high level creativity, how Charlie, does certain things, how he looks for certain setups in order to kind of portray the emotion and tell the full story of the hunt. And we talk about the importance of, you know, portraying hunting in a positive light, and we need more people kind of telling the whole story and, you know, what hunting truly is. So we talk a lot about that. Charlie offers some insights on gear and different things that you can do in the backcountry or while you're hunting to kind of help you along with photography, and tips and tactics for beginners getting started. So lots and lots of good information. Had a blast talking with Charlie, so let's not wait any longer. Let's get Charlie on the line. All right, we're on the line now. We got Charlie Williams, my good elk hunting buddy from Michigan. How's it going, man?
What's up, dude? Pretty good. Just chilling out after work.
After working out, you just got back from the gym. How was that?
Well, it was just normal.
You're getting in that elk shape already, huh?
I weigh like 205 right now.
So no shit. You've been bulking up, man.
Yep. I bulked till like May. I got this stupid goal. So I'm trying to deadlift 500 pounds by my birthday, which is in like 10 days.
It's like a day.
And I don't know if it's going to happen.
How many pounds?
500.
500. All right. Well, right. You'll be able to carry my fat ass off the mountain if we're hunting again next year.
Yeah. I'm gonna drop about 20 pounds before I come out to Colorado, so I'm not getting volunteered into being a mule.
Too late. Well, you're already carrying around all that heavy camera gear on the daily, so I mean, I held that in my hands and I was like, man, I can't even believe you carry this shit around for a week, because I was like, damn, dude, this weighs like 20 pounds. It's got to slow you down.
Bad idea. Bad idea.
Bad idea until you look at the pictures and you're like, holy hell, like this is pretty sweet. I wish everybody would do this. I wish I would do it.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, it's not easy. And that's why there's people like you. But yeah, man, what have you been up to? It's been a bit since we've kind of talked, and we've been texting a little bit here and there, but I've seen you've been in, where you been? Arkansas? Is that what I've been seeing?
And I went to Arizona
the
day after Christmas with my girlfriend. Just kind of like sightseeing. We went to Phoenix.
Nice. How was that? Did you do it just kind of fly in there and then did a bunch of kind of exploring, vacation kind of thing?
Yep. Flew into Phoenix, got an Airbnb, went hiking. There's a Camelback Mountain, like right in downtown Phoenix. It's a pretty gnarly hike, actually. And then, because everybody's telling me about it, I'm like, it's in town, and everybody's saying you got to use your hands and feet. And I'm like, oh, I've been in the backcountry. And I'm like, I'm just going to wear, like, tennis shoes and, like, not even worry about it. And then we get up there, and I'm like, this sucks.
Really?
This is kind of hard. Yeah. It was on, like, a scale of 1 to 10, it was probably, if deadfall and like 37 degree slopes is like a 10, this would be at like a 7.
No kidding. Yeah, I was gonna say, I was like, I don't know if they know where you elk hunt and what you've been through. So,
well, they're not gonna.
Yeah, we gotta keep that on the low. Yeah, no kidding.
Nope.
Yeah. So you went on this hike, and then what was the purpose of that? Just kind of get some photos, get the lay of land, something to do. What were you thinking there?
It was kind of like a touristy spot, and get some pictures and check it out. It's kind of weird because you like hike up this whole mountain and then you're just like overlooking all of Phoenix, and it's like, man, there's so many buildings and people, and it's kind of like, where's the pine trees?
Yeah, it's probably not exactly what you want to like hike up to and be like, oh, I'm overlooking a city. You kind of want to see like, you know, endless landscape of mountains and, you know, shit where other people aren't.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool for the people that live there. They can get some kind of hiking in, but
yeah,
I guess there's dudes that like run it every morning and some hardcore guys and girls. And then after that, we went down to Tucson, and it's just like all desert down there. You can see some mountains in the distance, and then kind of chilled out down there. Went to Old Tucson, but they had some party going.
Yeah.
So that was kind of a bust, and then came back up to Phoenix, and then the next day we went and hiked around. I can't even think of the town, but it was cool. There's a bunch of like secret hidden spots and trails, and there's trails all over this town. And then we ended up hiking like too far away from the car, and we were gonna get back at like after dark.
Oh damn.
So we bailed on that, and there's another trailhead that was like a quarter of the way away from where we went, and so it was like three quarters of the way back to the car. I was like, yeah, we're not gonna make it back before it's dark, so we can either try, or we can either get an Uber. So we Ubered back to the car, grabbed some dinner, and then headed up to Utah and crashed up there in a hotel, and then went to Monument Valley. And then that was sweet. It was definitely worth driving through. They had snow, so that was pretty cool. Like, all the pictures you see on Instagram or Facebook or whatever are all like sunny, so it was cool to see it in the snow.
Yeah. Yeah, and I was checking out some of your pictures that you had on social media, and I was like, damn, dude, this is pretty badass. Like, I've been to Arizona, I've been to Phoenix, I've been to Tucson, driven through all that stuff, but like where you're at was pretty amazing. Looks like a lot of red rock, a lot of cool formations.
Yep.
Pretty neat, man. That's badass.
Yeah, it was a cool spot, definitely worth seeing. And then we went to Antelope Canyon and checked that out.
Is that in Utah?
No, it's Arizona.
That's Arizona.
It's over by whatever town's right next to Horseshoe Bend.
Got it.
Yep.
Nice, man. Well, that's cool. Yeah, it looks like you guys got some good hiking in, lots of cool photos, and looks like Gabby was also taking some photos too. Is she kind of getting into the photography as well?
Yep, she got a Sony camera and then just got a new lens. And then she's been playing with that a lot, so that's cool.
Nice. Yeah, that's Well, she's got a good teacher, man. I'm sure.
I need
you to just come live with me for a week and show me how to use my damn camera that I've had for 3 years and don't really know how to work. I'm full on auto, man. That's all I do. I am the worst. And once in a while, I'll switch it over to manual, and I kind of get the hang of it a little bit, but then I'm just like, I get confused.
Just gotta go for it and stick with it.
Yeah. We'll get into that here in a little bit. So Arizona, and
so
it looks like recently you were in Arkansas, right?
Yep. Flew back from Arizona New Year's Eve, and then had a little New Year's Eve shindig and did some partying, and then woke up the next day, and then at 10 and headed to Arkansas. Drove down there. It was like a 11-hour drive. We went to Kansas last year, and we met a dude, and he was like, yeah, man, you guys should come down to Arkansas and hunt with me. They have a lease. So we lined that all up, planned out.
And this is a waterfowl hunt, right?
Yeah, ducks and geese. Planned that out for the Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Actually, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So we get down there, and there's like the warmer temperatures were like north of like Arkansas. So the ducks were kind of hanging up there, like Kansas. And so the big push wasn't down yet.
Oh, got it. Like the migration, then, right?
Yeah. And they had so much rain since September, I guess, that it's mostly rice fields down there, and then the farmers will lease their property to hunters and then flood certain spots, and they have pit blinds and stuff you hunt out of. So with all the extra rain, the ducks were way more spread out than what was ideal.
Ah, that makes sense. Because, everything's flooded. They're just going to be landing and kind of eating everywhere instead of just being concentrated around those flooded fields and what they've kind of put in. Got it.
Right. But there was a shit ton of snow geese and quite a few specks. I really wanted to hunt the timber, but nobody was doing any good in the timber, like not even seeing ducks. So we kind of just hunted pits and then tried to do a couple speck setups, but that kind of didn't pan out. So it was definitely cool to experience, but the hunting could have been better.
Yeah, well, that's how it goes. Now, like the timber stuff, is that kind of like your classic, what you see, like, let's say, for example, in some of the Sitka, like waterfall images, like you're standing with those big like cypress trees or whatever, you're standing in water and you're just kind of in the woods basically.
Yep.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I bet that would make some really cool photos. I've never been in that environment and never kind of experienced that whole kind of wetland aspect of the wooded timber, but man, that seems like it'd be pretty sweet to check out.
Yeah, man, it looks really cool. We drove by a bunch of spots and it looked sweet.
Yeah.
So maybe next year, go back down and hit it up.
Now, how does waterfowl kind of imagery or photography, is that kind of a little bit faster paced? Are you trying to get images of the birds? Are you trying to get images of like hunters and kind of the action? Is it a little of everything? How does that kind of differ maybe from like a Western style elk hunt or, you know, big game hunt?
So I guess it kind of depends on the photographer. Like there's bird photographers and then there's product photography and everything else. And then I kind of base my imagery on like stories. So, yep. I guess I kind of focus on like the whole big picture and like trying to get the shots that I want to like display what's going on in each scenario the same way. Like I want to incorporate the environment to give, like if everything was, I do these stories on Instagram and kind of arrange the pictures in order and kind of do like a play by play a little bit.
Yeah.
And it's basically the same as whitetail hunting for me or turkey hunting. Like you got to start, middle, and end. And I like to incorporate a wider shot to like, or find, it's kind of hard because everybody wants that one picture, you know?
Yeah.
Like Instagram is like a one picture platform. Like you got to have that banger. And then everybody's like, oh, this is so sweet. But then if you want to tell a story, you need to have like something that shows the setting and something that's happening. And then something that's like showing texture and like something close up, like a macro shot where you can like see all the different texture and color and whatever to kind of get the feel of it. And then it's all really the same. As
yeah.
in a storytelling platform, but if you wanted to do bird photography, you'd be better off just kind of like going out to a swamp and setting up just for pictures.
Yeah, yeah, strictly wildlife. That's a different, yeah, it's way different than the hunt itself because it's more than just that, right? It's like the preparing and setting the decoys and, you know, driving out there. Like I'm looking at your Instagram right now, you've got, you know, a pic of a side-by-side, you know, in the mud, you know, splashing up. You've got guys pointing, you know, point and shoot shotguns in the sky. You've got a close up, like you said, of one of the ducks that you guys shot, and it's just a really cool close up. And then, you know, throwing out decoys. You kind of like just through your Instagram right there, you're kind of telling the story and all encompassing, and that's pretty cool. That's badass, man. Looks great.
Thanks, dude. It's hard. It's hard to do the stories on the actual, like, grid, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Because if you just, like, try to do a story, it's going to be drug out because you don't want to be the dude posting, like, every hour of the day. And then people are be like, oh, this dude's again. And then it's like.
Yeah, you can't overdo it. But you can't. Right. But you're right. It's a tough platform to just put one up there or a couple up there and tell the whole, you know, the whole picture. So
yeah, that's why I do it in my story and then kind of make a highlight of it.
Got it.
And then you can kind of see the whole action go like from beginning to end.
Well, that's why you got to get a website, man. I've been telling you for the past 2 years, you need to throw up a website. When's that going to happen?
I'm working on it.
When's CharlieWilliamsPhotography.com going to open up?
It's under construction.
Well, I mean, hey, that's good news. That's better than what we talked about previously. So, good deal, man. That'll be
what
that'll
was
be
the
cool.
previous answer?
I don't know that you didn't have a website and you weren't doing anything.
Yeah. Yep.
So we're making progress. That's good, man. No, I mean,
baby steps.
Honestly, like having a platform like. So I look as like in my world, in your world or whatever, like social media is just kind of like the, teaser. Like you definitely need social media and whatnot. And especially for you, I mean, that's what social media is kind of turned into is like imagery and photography and telling a story, but like you need to drive them back to something, you know. Social media is not pointless without a website, but with a website, you're going to be able to like really kind of, you know, capture an audience further, build a network. People can go there, find your images, you know, contact you. a little easier that way. So I think it's great. Once you have that up, it'll change the game.
For sure. Hopefully.
Yeah. Yeah. Sweet, man. What's the late season look like for you in Michigan? Have you been doing any, did you do any late dough kind of late December,
yep,
kind of that time period?
Yep. We live in the county where you can use whatever gun you want. So
is that because of the CWD?
Yeah. So we're not the core area. Well, there's core area and then there's surrounding area. I don't remember what the terminology is, but
you're like a neighboring border county to where, yeah, the CWD was actually tested for and confirmed, yep, in deer. Got it.
So normally, like, you got gun season from November 15th for 2 weeks, and then it goes a week off, and then you have muzzleloader, and then you have late doe. Well, muzzleloader, you could use any shotgun or muzzleloader. So I still use a muzzleloader, but ended up getting a doe. It was kind of bad hunting. All the deer went nocturnal, and the deer herd kind of moved away because the farmer over here spread a bunch of chicken shit for fertilizer, which smells absolutely terrible.
Yeah, it does. I remember that growing up.
Yeah, it was bad. And then, so there was no deer, and then I finally ended up getting one.
Nice.
A little bit. I would have liked three, but
yeah,
not like I can have an elk. An elk this year.
I know, man. I was really hoping I would get an elk this year, but man, it's tough. Like, I just think about it. I mean, I was listening to the Joe Rogan podcast today with Adam Greentree, the most recent one he was on a couple weeks ago. Yeah, and like, you know, like, dude, he hunts for a freaking month. You know, like, he'll go elk hunting for a month. And he was talking about, like, in New Mexico, he had one opportunity and he capitalized on it over 30 days. I mean, to put that in perspective, I mean, you hunted last year for what, 2 weeks? And
yeah.
I mean, you drew your bow, you had some encounters, but like you never ripped off a shot. I hunted for like a week kind of playing guide for Dan and Ryan while you were out there and hunting with you a little bit, and I did some weekend hunting, but I never drew back my bow. You know, it just puts it in perspective how tough it is. And you know, elk hunting is not freaking easy, especially public land with a bow. It's crazy. I don't think people, if you haven't done it, people don't really realize how tough it is. It's crazy.
Right. Man, it's weird because the first year it made it seem so easy. And then
you and me both, man, you and me both.
And then it's just like, oh, welcome to the real world.
Yep. You get humbled real quick. Yeah. Cause you killed your first trip. Basically first week of hunting, right? Because you went out for 2 weeks and killed in the first week. And then
end of the first week,
yep. And I was the same scenario. The year prior, that was my first year of elk hunting, and killed my very last day of hunting that week. And we both killed awesome freaking bulls that will probably never top.
Right.
On public land, you know, OTC units. And it's just like, holy shit, like, I can do this. And then you go the next year and you're like, oh man, this is, I got lucky as shit.
Yeah, pretty much.
But
yeah, so
it's still fun. So you wish you would have got an elk, but at least you got a doe. I mean, that's some meat in the freezer.
Yep. Better than buying beef from the grocery store.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah, I got the two deer in Oklahoma and then that muley in Colorado. So I'm pretty well stocked. I would have liked, you know, I eat a lot of venison. Like, I'll eat it pretty much every other day if I can. But
same here.
I just try to, you know, if I don't have what I want, I kind of, as far as like the as much meat as I want, you kind of got to spare it a little bit, and not go hog wild pounding it every day.
Yeah, definitely gonna have to happen this year.
You're just gonna hope Dev hits one with his truck or something and calls you.
I might buy a brush guard and start targeting them. Be like one of those roadkill hunters.
Oh, man, I couldn't slow down. Uh-oh.
Yeah, gas pedal sticks.
Insurance will cover that one.
So you gonna hunt this year?
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out my game plan. You know, I kind of really liked playing I wasn't like guiding Dan and Ryan, but I really just liked playing the kind of that guide part, you know? Like I had more fun doing a hunt camp and just hanging out and going with those guys this past year than I ever did. Kind of like, you know, it's a different feel altogether, but I'd like to do another hunt camp. What's your plan? Are you going to come back out?
Yep. I think there's 7 of us planning on coming this year.
No shit. Nice.
Yeah. But I don't know where we're going. We haven't really figured out logistics and stuff, and I don't know. I don't know the whole game plan yet, but it's going to be a lot better than hunting solo, I'll tell you that much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's got to be – that's a whole different element right there by itself. Well, that's cool, man. Yeah, and then I'll probably – I'd like to do another mule deer hunt, and then I usually try to get in at least one whitetail hunt a year. I've got to go back to my Michigan roots, so I don't know where that'll be, but I really had a good time in Oklahoma, so I might give that another go. But I'm all about, like, right now trying as many different states and kind of experiences as possible. And I think with elk, too, I'm going to start looking into some different states here in the next like couple years, like do a Montana trip or maybe in Idaho or New Mexico or something. I don't know. I kind of want to mix it up and get into grizzly country. How about you?
I'm in the same boat. I was actually looking at Montana this year.
Yeah.
And then Wyoming, but I think a lot of the units, if not all of them, are draw units, but I think some of them have pretty good odds for 1 point.
Wyoming?
So I'm not sure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that is all draw. And I need to build up my points too. So, but yeah, that'd be cool, man. That'd be sweet to push into one of those states and get that added element of another predator there that will eat you alive.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, high country mule deer hunt high on the list too. So as soon as I get some points built up for Colorado, I'll be doing that.
Heck yeah. That's on my list as well. That would be pretty cool. Heck yeah, man. Well, sweet. Well, it sounds like you had like kind of a jam-packed fall and winter with some of these trips and, you know, photography sessions that you've been doing and that whole landscape. But, you know, kind of what I wanted to talk to you about today is, and I haven't had anybody on the podcast who's really kind of dove into photography specifically, but, you know, kind of talking about your kind of journey of getting into photography and, you know, kind of learning the ropes there, and then maybe offer some tips for people like me who suck and want to get better and kind of talk about that whole realm if you're up for it.
Yeah, for sure.
What, this photography thing for you has been something that's kind of come on board over the last like couple of years, right? Because like when we were younger, I mean, me and you grew up together basically from middle school. I mean, it's just been in the last couple of years that you've really kind of dove headfirst into this, right?
Yeah, I finally organized my hobbies and interests a little bit better, so I can kind of narrow it down. But
do you have ADD, Charlie?
I haven't been diagnosed.
I'm just playing.
So, you remember my room when I was little?
I don't know. It was scary in there. I didn't go in there.
Dude, it was plastered. Like, every wall had, I had, like, Trans World Snowboarding, Trans World Skateboarding, like, all those punk kid magazines.
Yep. Just cool shots, man.
Yeah, after I finished reading them, I'd, like, clip out all the pages. And my whole room was, like, every wall, I made this wallpaper out of cool clippings from skate and snowboarding magazines. And you could just like lay in there and like look at all these pictures, and it was sweet. And then the first time I ever did anything like, I guess, super creative with like a camera, we were riding BMX bikes, and I tried making a
like a BMX video, but I didn't know how to cut stuff. And like, I'd do intros and sound stuff. So I'd have like my cassette player blaring like Linkin Park or something, or Limp Bizkit. And then like, I'd draw like somebody's name and do like an intro and then shake it. And then I'd be chasing them while they're hitting these jumps and stuff. And then I'd like stop it and run back and do another one.
Really high production shit here.
Super high. And then I kind of like got out of the whole camera thing for a while. And then when I started goose hunting, I was like always wanted to take pictures and ask for a DSLR for Christmas all the time. And never got one. I got this little point and shoot.
Tough shit,
and
Charlie.
This was like, yeah. And then this was like probably 04, 05. And then took some pictures of the point and shoot, and they sucked compared to everybody else that was doing it. So I was like, oh, this is dumb. And then I got into it. Well, I bought my first actual like real camera two and a half years ago, which was a Canon 70D. And then I used that for a while and then kind of upgraded a little bit stuff then from there. And now I have a bunch of shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's the whole getting into it story. But from there.
And like, why did you want to get into it? Like for me, like I feel photography is a whole different kind of style and side of hunting. And it lets you kind of be creative with it and document things along the way in a creative aspect. What was kind of your reasoning to like kind of really get into this full fledged?
Probably just the pictures. Like I said, the whole bedroom was covered with pictures, and you just like you can just look at it, you know. So that was big, and then I don't know. It's just like a deeper, you can kind of like put yourself in there and then just look at it and kind of put yourself in those shoes instead of like reading about it is cool. And you can kind of get the idea from them. But if you look at a picture of it, it's like you're in there.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and you can interpret it in different ways too. Like one person might look at it and be like, oh, you know, I see it as this, or another person might see it as that. And it's kind of, you kind of can make up a story in your own head. And maybe completely different from somebody else's.
Yeah. And I'm not really super good with words, so it's better than blogging.
Is that why you send me all of your, you know, captions to edit up, Charlie?
No. No.
Which, by the way, you are a good writer. And I think you should totally pursue that side too. But I'm happy to help you with whatever you need. If you want to send something over, I'm always happy to look at it.
The thing with writing is, it's like you try and make it all like professional and sound good and everything else, and then you put it out there, and it's like
can always be better.
Like that, and it's like putting everything out there, just like dumping your whole guts on the table, and you're just like, here, look at this.
Yep.
And then people are just like, whoa. But I think writing's personal. I mean, everything's personal, like art related or self-made kind of things, but everything's perceived differently. And I like how photography is perceived, as that anybody can kind of take it their own direction.
Yeah. Yeah. Talk to us a little bit. Cause I've, you know, making some video, like mine aren't high quality at all, but like I know whenever I have to do some photos or whatever, it takes work, right? Like especially if you're solo. But talk to us a little bit on like on a hunt. Like a lot of people don't realize the amount of work, because like even when me and you were hunting together and Dan and Ryan were all walking out that last day, I mean, you're running around, you're jumping on top of logs, you're getting ahead of us, you're climbing up this hill. Talk to us a little bit about like kind of the behind the scenes work that people don't really see, and the effort that goes into maybe getting the shot. It's a whole different element than just like going through the motions, right?
Yeah, it's just not like you can. Yeah. So I was actually super stoked to do that because I've been walking around with a camera and I'm carrying this camera around every day. And it's just like me setting it up with a timer or taking landscape pictures, which is not really my thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't bring a tripod because I didn't want to carry the extra weight. And so I'd be like setting it up on a rock and then I'd have to run back and check, like, make sure like the composition was right. And then I'd have to tweak it and then make some more adjustments. And then after you run back and forth like 5 times, then you're like, okay, everything's set up. And then you set the timer and then you just like shoot off 5 or 10 shots and then you get one you like. So that's by yourself. So when I was with you guys, it was nice because I could just kind of let you guys do your thing and then just kind of float around you and take pictures. And then it's still a lot of work though. Like you have to, like you can find a cool spot and then you can kind of come up with an idea of how you want to shoot it.
Yeah.
And I don't like making people stop or like
stage and shit walk too much.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't like that at all.
Yeah.
So I want to keep everything authentic. So if you guys are walking, I'm trying as fast as I can to like come up with how I want to see it and shoot it and then get in that spot. So like if I see a ditch bank and like, oh, I'm like, this will look sweet up there. I'll run up that ditch bank and just kind of fire off a couple shots. And then hopefully one turns out how I wanted. And then after the fact, then you have to edit everything and export everything. And so there's quite a bit of work that goes into like each picture.
For sure. What, like in your mind, like, what are you going through? Are you like, how do you envision like a certain shot that you want? Are you kind of, is it kind of based off experiments? Are you, do you like follow other people's work and you're like, I kind of like how they do this style? Or are you just kind of shooting from the hip and just trying to shoot as many as possible to kind of, you know, hope you get one? Like what's kind of your focus there? How do you envision like how you want something to look?
It depends on the landscape and like the time of day and like the feel of like how everything's going. Like that morning I took those dark pictures of you when we were setting up in that meadow.
Yep.
It was like right before daylight, so it was darker and I wanted to get some close-ups of Dan and Ryan and you and kind of portray the environment and like the feelings we were going through, like kind of suspicious, like unknown.
Yep.
So darker kind of led to that.
Headlamps and then, on, shed yeah. layer or adding layers, you know, kind of
yep.
doing that stuff. Yep.
So that, it depends, it's like situation dependent. So if it's like a high intensity situation, I'll try and incorporate some kind of high intensity action. Like say you're running through a river, I'm going to get the water splashing. And this is all based on other things that I've seen that portray high intensity stuff, but it's also my idea of like the environment and like everything else incorporated and how the light's hitting things. And like the longer you, like I'm not professional at all, but like the farther you go with everything, I feel like the better understanding you get on how to tell your story of that situation.
Yeah, it makes total sense. And I had John Mulligan on the show recently talking about his antelope hunt. And I can't remember if we talked about this on the podcast or if it was off air after the fact, but you know, he said he kind of, in order for him to like get to the photography style that he wanted or to like better learn the camera and certain shots that he wanted to take, he basically kind of like found pictures online or followed people on social media. And he's like, I really like that image. And then he would go back through and like try to recreate that, you know, similar style. Have you kind of experienced that same thing of kind of like, I like that photographer's style. And then you're going to play at the settings and try to get that same recreation.
Yeah.
And then yep. kind of develop that into your own.
Yeah. The whole style thing has changed probably 10 times, I think. But like I'd have, oh, this dude's my favorite photographer right now. And then a few months go by and then like your style changes as you
yeah
progress. And then eventually you'll be shooting this style and you're like, oh, I don't like how this looks. So then you start tweaking things and whatnot. And then like I'd get in these slumps or lulls or creative blocks, whatever you want to call it. And you're just like, I don't want to create anything. I don't know what I want to shoot. I don't know what I want my pictures to look like. So I came up with this idea to make a, you know how Instagram, you can save pictures.
Yep.
Or post or whatever, bookmark mm-hmm. them. Mm-hmm. I made a folder and then I base everything on feeling, like, not like, oh, that looks sweet. But like if a picture
drives some emotion.
Yeah. If it does that, then I save it.
Yeah.
So I have this folder and it's just like all these saved bookmarked images. And it's like they all have corresponding themes that work together. And that's kind of how I'm working on narrowing down my style, I guess you could say.
Yeah. No, it makes a lot of sense. It's something that it doesn't come easy, I'm sure. It's just kind of that you've worked on over the past couple of years to kind of develop your unique taste. And like you said, it kind of you adapt and you evolve as you kind of progress through this whole photography lifestyle that you are now embraced in.
Yeah, dude, it's crazy because like you get in this rut and you're just like, I don't know what to do. And yep. you're just like, blah. So I've actually bought two books for creative block, I guess you could say. So one was Steal Like an Artist, and it's basically saying there's different chapters and stuff, and it's saying how like take people's work and change it and make it yours kind of thing.
Yeah.
And just a bunch of things to boost your morale. And how nothing's original and everything's like a remake of everything else.
With a twist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Put your own twist on things.
Yep.
And then another one is ignore everybody and a certain number of things for creativity. So both of them are great books that yep. help you get through a rut, but there's definitely some roadblocks there. Like, it's a soul-searching path, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
Like, figuring things out.
For sure. And you kind of talked about it a little bit, like, getting started with your first DSLR. But, like, what's – for somebody that wants to – maybe not on the same level as, like, what you're on, but, you know, like, for myself, I think it's important to document – and be able to look back on some badass photos for, you know, for the future and to show your kids or grandkids or whatever down the line. And, but like, what's something that somebody can do to kind of, you know, get into photography, whether it's hunting or taking pictures of wildlife or whatever, but kind of where do you start? Like, how do you get into like selecting the best camera? What gear do you need? How to get started with everything?
I just watched a ton of YouTube videos, honestly. But forums are bad news because everybody's bashing everybody else's shit.
Forums suck in general. It's just, yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone wants to talk shit.
Yeah. A lot of YouTube, there's Instagram is super helpful. I remember bugging a bunch of people when I first started and I was like, and I looked back on it and I was like, I cannot believe these questions I asked, but like when you start, you don't know. So
yeah,
just thank God there's nice people out there that like helping people.
Yeah.
But a good starting point, I mean, iPhones are insane now.
Yeah.
I follow Apple on Instagram and they're posting some shot on iPhone pictures that look insane.
It's crazy, but, isn't it?
Dude, it's nuts. And then if you wanted to get like an actual DSLR, or even like a nice point and shoot. Sony makes some really nice point and shoots that have a fixed lens or like a zoom lens, but it's just like a regular point and shoot, you know? So
it like what's a point and shoot? Like it doesn't have that bulky, like kind of lens on the front?
Like, you can, it's just like a, you know, the ones that zoom back into the body.
Oh yeah.
The little ones you stuff in your pocket. Yeah. Yep. Those are actually really good now.
So those are becoming a little bit more popular maybe for hunting because they're lighter and don't take up as much space. Is that kind of a trend
Definitely. Okay. It is.
I'll have to look into that. Cause like, that's the big thing with my, like, and mine's not even, you know, comparable to yours as far as size and weight. Mine's a lot smaller, but even then I'm like, man, I don't want to carry this thing around. And mine's not that big, you know, to begin with, but I want something better than my freaking iPhone, you know, cause like something,
right.
Like, you know, you might want to get something that's like 20 feet or, you know, 20 yards away, and on your iPhone, it's not going to look good, you know?
Right. So Sony makes some really good point and shoot cameras. If you wanted something, you could just stuff in your pocket. They're high megapixel quality. I think it's like 30 megapixels, maybe even higher.
Wow.
They shoot slow-mo video, like 120, I think even 240 actually. Don't quote me on that though.
And but then, something to look into. And then when you get up into the DSLR, what would you kind of recommend, like price wise or like, I don't know, brand wise, maybe getting started with that?
Depends on how hard you are on things. Like my body and my lenses are weather sealed. So I remember one day I wanted this picture. I was coming down this riverbed, and it was that day. It was pouring rain.
Yeah.
And it was hailing, and you guys like were like, "Screw this! I'm going back to the cabin." And I'm sitting out there. I'm just soaked already, and I'm hiding under this tree. And then it finally lets up, and I'm coming back down, and I'm like, "I'm just going back to the cabin." My feet are soaked. Feel my toes getting like all pruney. I'm like, "This is gonna be bad if they blister." So I'm going back to the cabin. Down this riverbed, and it starts hailing again and sleeting, and I was like, you know, this be a pretty cool picture. So get my camera out, and it's like really coming down, and I'm like, screw it, whatever, I got insurance. Set it up, and it's just completely soaked, and I was pretty surprised that nothing like glitched out. But so more expensive bodies and lenses, like I shoot Canon, so like a 5D whatever, 5D3, 5D4, those are going to be weather sealed, and then L series glass is also weather sealed, so it's got like a rubber gasket on where it connects.
Okay.
So it keeps water and moisture and dust and everything else out.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are more expensive, a lot more expensive, and it's kind of a like a higher commitment. But if you take care of your stuff, I mean, I know guys that are shooting Sonys a couple years ago on like fishing boats, so that's also an option. You just have to be a lot more careful and aware with it, and like be like, oh, if it gets wet, you need to dry it off fast.
Yeah for sure.
But go ahead.
What are you looking at as far as like price point? Like I know for like my, like I tell everybody, like I ask people, I was like, is Nikon good? They're like, well, that's your first problem. You bought a Nikon for a DSLR. You should.
Nikon's new camera is sweet, man.
Are they? Yeah, I don't even know. But like, I know mine like is kind of like the bottom of the barrel DSLR, and it's still like, it's better than my phone, you know, and that's kind of the way I looked at it. But I spent somewhere around, I think $600 for a couple couple lenses and the camera. But what's like a realistic price point? Are you looking like 5 to 1,000, you know, maybe somebody can get into to kind of start at the basic level?
I think, so my first, I bought the 70D with a kit lens, and I was like $900. So I wouldn't dive into it and dump like a ton of money into it.
Yep.
Unless you know it's something that you want to do, because it's just like, you'll start and then you'll be like, oh, I want a new lens. Like my girlfriend did the same thing. she bought a camera with a kit lens. I was like, you should just get the body and then get a nice lens, because you're just going to be upset with a kit lens in like 2 months.
Yep.
So lo and behold, she was upset with a kit lens and bought another lens. But it's not a limiting factor. It's just when you start out and you see everybody else taking sweet pictures, they're way ahead of the way. Like, they already have the nice camera and the nice lenses and everything else. So you can still take really good pictures on a kit camera. Like, people make these YouTube videos, professional photographers with these like $5 cameras or $20 cameras. And, but it's, they already have like everything figured out.
Yeah. Well, so, how much of that is the editing side after the fact, and how much is it the gear and the camera of actually taking the shot? Is the editing like a huge portion of that, or is it really more of the shot?
It's, I'd say 60-40. The shot's more important. Editing's just putting your own style on it, stylizing it how you want.
Got it.
So, yeah.
Cause I always looked at it as like, man, like, these guys are taking awesome photos, but there's gotta be something on the editing side too that also kind of makes it. And I've even done that with you. It's like, Charlie, like, take a look at this photo. Can you like play with the settings or something to make it look cooler than what I actually, took, and make it look good? So there's some of that too, which is pretty neat.
Yeah. It's definitely a cool way to put your own spin on it. A lot of people, I mean, you can get awesome pictures straight out of camera.
Yeah.
Because you can adjust like white balance. And if you want it to, say you want a really warm picture, you just put your white balance up at a higher Kelvin level. A lot of people shoot in auto white balance. I don't like to, because it will adjust the white balance based on like cloud cover or if you're in the shade. And then when you go to edit everything, it changes. So
yeah,
it looks different than what you thought it was, or what your idea of what it was going to be. But it's a good way to start. And it's just, taking pictures is, it's easier and something less to worry about.
Yeah, that makes sense. So realistically, for a camera, you might be looking at $6,000 to $1,000, you know, maybe $1,500 if you wanted to kind of splurge a little bit for a beginner. What, like, kind of what else do you need as far as like gear? I mean, are there other costs associated with getting into photography?
If you're gonna do like backcountry stuff, you're gonna want some extra batteries, and batteries aren't exactly cheap. I don't like filters. Well, I got like
lens filters.
Yeah, I should probably get some, but
I don't like them. But I should probably do it.
Yeah, it's just something else to mess with. So you can get filters to protect your element, your front element on your lens. Lens wipes to keep it clean. There's like those little puffer things you can use, hurricane blower or whatever it's called.
Okay.
You can use that. Memory cards. Memory cards are kind of expensive.
And then, like, as far as like cases and stuff, like something probably weatherproof or something pretty rugged.
Mine wouldn't fit in a case, so I just wrapped it in my puffy.
Oh, got it. Oh yeah, for actually hunting, you know, like when you're taking it in your pack or whatever, you just got it wrapped up.
Yep.
Nice. Got it.
And then I have like these little cheap padded cases you can get on Amazon for different lenses and stuff, just throw in my pack. But overall, they're pretty durable, the lenses and everything.
Yeah, for sure. So it sounds like, you know, for the basics, I mean, we've kind of covered, yeah, I mean, there's so many different options, and like what I do a lot, and like you've already stated, get online, do some research, read some reviews. Maybe there's certain cameras that kind of play and gear more towards your style, or maybe more of your budget, kind of go from there. And then like you talked about, like learning the camera and like different shots, like finding and following these people that you know, you kind of really like their style and you want to kind of recreate that. And then maybe watching some YouTube videos on how they did different settings, like your f-stop and your aperture and white balance, like you said, and kind of learning the basics of that. That's where I struggle the most, is like not knowing the settings of my camera. Was that pretty tough to kind of like learn all the different manual settings, or is that something that you just kind of jumped into with through the videos?
I jumped into it through the videos. A lot of people like aperture priority or shutter priority, and then they can set their shutter speed how they want. It's super useful, but I usually like to shoot underexposed a little bit to retain detail in like shadows and darker spots.
Okay.
So it kind of darkens the whole thing up, but if you shoot in raw, which you should, you can adjust everything and brighten parts up or darken parts. So when I started, everything that I read and whatnot and watched on YouTube, it said to, like, it sounded like manual was the way to go. So I just kind of like taught myself, and it was super slow, and I was really slow like getting the shot that I wanted because I was always messing with things. But after a while you start getting used to it and remembering where the buttons are and knowing like how many turns of the dial is going to do what, and you don't even have to look anymore. But I think it's best to just dive in, kind of sink or swim scenario, and just kind of force yourself to learn.
Yeah. And I need to do that. Like I've been out in the field and stuff, or when I'm taking, I kind of just drive around and take pictures of mule deer and elk out here in Colorado, which is pretty cool. But like everything with like wildlife and kind of hunting is usually a little bit faster paced. And that's where I struggle with, like, do I want to just get the shot and just take the picture with auto, or do I want to try and futz around with these settings and it's going to, you know, possibly risk, you know, missing that opportunity. That's where I'm kind of at right now, but I just need to kind of like step back and just slow it down, you know, like
right.
Pick a stationary object and try some different things. I think that's where I'm kind of hung up at right now.
I think the thing that helped me the most was taking pictures of my dog just around the house.
Yeah.
Because he's fast. And I was like, yeah, my dog runs around crazy and I can work on this and whatnot.
Well, it's very applicable to like a hunting scenario, like a, you know, like that, like he's moving all around, he's jumping, he's running, you know, and you're trying to get that certain shot or angle or lighting or whatever in that split second or that fast motion. And it kind of forces you to learn those different things.
Yeah. The good thing about light is that it doesn't change super fast. So like if you can set your settings up in advance, and then say you're waterfowl hunting and you're just hanging out and nothing's going on. So you can take a couple pictures, and when you find the light that you like, it's going to depend on which way you're pointing towards the sun or whatever, but you can set it up in advance, and then when everything happens, you're already set up and you just have to focus and shoot. But it just takes time and a lot of practice.
Yeah.
I think those 365 challenges that everybody does are actually pretty cool.
What's that?
Because so you just take a picture every day.
Got it.
And then you can look back and try and figure things out, or say you want to work on something and you just kind of work on, say you want to take black and white pictures. So you do try and progress through black and white.
Got it. Yeah. And like what's your whole take? Like as far as the hunting industry and, you know, photography and portraying our image, so to speak, as hunters, like I feel like the industry and our lifestyle needs more of the photography and the showcasing of what the hunt actually is through images like you take. You know, it tells the story. It's like it's a lifestyle. You know, like for me, or there's a lot of stuff floating around there on the internet. It's like you can take a photo with your cell phone in the back of a truck, and this deer's got its tongue out and it's all bloody, and it kind of can throw people in a certain way of like, oh, hunting's kind of like, you know, might not portray it in the light that it actually is. So like what's your whole take on like hunting and photography and where it all stands with kind of promotion of where we're at?
I think it's starting. There's like everybody I follow on Instagram or whatever is,
hey Charlie, go take a piss and then we can jump into that question. We can start you right back off.
All right.
I'll pause it.
Pause it.
Pause. All right, let me know when you're back.
All right. What?
I can hear you pissing.
Stuff that on the patio.
Maybe I won't edit this part.
Oh, here we go. That'd be hilarious, dude. And we're back.
Do you need me to repeat the question, or are you good to like just kind of go with kind of what we already talked about?
Give me the cliff notes.
We kind of talked about it earlier, but like, you know, like I feel like the way you portray hunting through your photography and showcasing it in the right, for what it is, like it's,
okay.
Instead of like somebody like just posting a cell phone picture of a deer in the back of a truck, like I feel like that plays in well to our, image as hunters, 'cause we're a very minority, in the scheme of things. You know, I don't know what's your whole take on like hunting and photography and kind of where we're at today as a society?
We're definitely evolving and moving towards the right direction, because like, I remember back in the day, 6 years ago, people just piled deer up in the back of their truck and take a picture and everybody's like, oh yeah, sweet.
Yeah.
But it was like, people weren't getting attention from the softer side of the people. I mean, not to say that in a negative way, because you don't want to, like, it was just more confined as like a group kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, social media has changed things, right? I mean, like,
oh yeah.
Social media and now everybody sees the good and they see the bad, you know? So like,
well, a lot of people are also portraying the good as the bad. It depends on the mood of the person that day, whatever. But, I mean, it's definitely a lot easier and a lot better to show like the story of it. And like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with grip and grins as long as they're done right.
Yeah.
Like, don't sit on top of the deer and pull its antlers up and like tongue hanging out, like pay some respects to the animal and like wipe the blood off, you know, make it look like you actually respect it.
Yeah.
So that's huge. I mean, I took pictures for Mark Kenyon of his buck.
Yeah. I saw that.
I was reading comments and people were like, why didn't you got the deer? And then they were tagging me in the comments like, was this deer gutted? Like, how long did he lay? Like, you guys left the guts in for like overnight, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no, the deer was gutted. I cleaned the deer up. Like, he had the deer hanging. So he shot the deer the night before, hung the deer, gutted the deer, and cleaned him up. I go over there the next morning, first thing, like sunrise, and we has a hot, like, bowl of hot water and washcloth, and I cleaned some more blood off. And then when I edited the pictures, there was a little bit of blood on his stomach, the deer's stomach, so I desaturated the reds, so it just looked like brown dirt.
Yeah.
So it was also a huge deer, huge body deer also, so it looked like it might have still had its guts in, I guess you could say.
Well, that's also, but, I mean, from your standpoint, it's like, that's good photography. If it looks like it's just right there as is without being gutted, that means, you know, you took your time and set up the image in the right way, so you're not seeing all that, you know?
Right. So there's you just have to be aware of your audience. And a lot of people are becoming aware. And there's a lot of people that are trying to get people that aren't in the hunting world to be more accepting of it and kind of just show our journey, you know?
Yeah.
Like tell a story. So that's really beneficial.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
as long as you keep that in mind, it's a win-win for everyone.
Yeah. Like I feel like we have, I don't want to say this in like a bad way, but I feel us as hunters, I feel like we shouldn't have anything to prove, you know, like it is what it is. Like it's killing an animal. It's life and death. So I don't want to like say like, oh, we have to conform, but in the same time, like with hunting the community itself and less people nowadays, kind of like not in that whole sphere, you definitely don't like, you can't get away with the back of the truck picture like you could 10 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like you kind of have to portray it in a different way, or we should, you know, to kind of help promote our community and the heritage and the lifestyle. Is that kind of what you see as well?
Yeah. Yeah. Like you just want to tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
And focusing on the story part of it instead of like, my big thing is, I mean, it goes for waterfowl hunting. It goes for deer hunting. Like it also goes towards people getting into it. Like I think on one of your other podcasts, you were talking about hunter recruitment and this, like the whole, say you're 14, you just start hunting, or 12, and you have a cell phone now because everybody has a cell phone. So you get on Instagram and you follow like Drury Outdoors and all these other hunting pages, and all you see is these giant bucks or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, like I remember when we started hunting, we were watching the Outdoor Channel, and that's kind of like the big push that why everyone does quality deer management now. Like,
yeah.
Oh, we want to shoot these big bucks, but oh, we have these little bucks. So it's how Michigan. Do we, yeah. But, like you feel inadequate. So if everybody's just posting like grip and grins with giants, it's going to be kind of disheartening for younger people.
Yeah.
I think. And then it also makes it just look like you're like, if you don't share any other part of the story besides the finish, like what else is there to tell?
Yeah, it's not real.
I mean, if you have no idea on anything about hunting, you're just not going to know any different.
Yeah.
So I think by showing the story, you connect people to the story, and if you do a good job, people are interested.
Yeah, it's not. Yeah, and I think we're kind of evolving off of like it's not all about just the kill. Like who cares about like the trophy shot or, you know, the picture of the animals, awesome. But like what you do in a lot of your stories is like talk like on your solo elk hunt from last fall, it's the struggle. It's the mental,
yeah.
You know, side, and like how you portray that through your images, like it just, I don't know, it helps encompass everything and for what it actually is, instead of, oh, here's me with my bull elk or my mule deer or you know, my whitetail that I shot. You know, it's much more than that.
Right. I mean, it's like, I think the first picture that I posted when I shot my elk was actually the elk. But I
oh, you trophy hunter.
The first thing in the caption, I think, like in the first sentence, I said something about stay tuned for this story or something.
Yep.
So I wanted to like display everything and like the whole journey of it. Like, I think hunting for a lot of people is a lot about the journey and the time, like to reflect. Say if you're like a whitetail hunter and you just enjoy being out in the woods and sitting in a tree and being in solitude and being kind of one with nature or whatever, that's a big part for bow hunters or tree stand hunters. And then the whole backcountry part is also like earning things and kind of going out into the wilderness and enjoying being in the wild. Like it's all connected to other things besides just killing something.
For sure.
And that's, so with everybody, what
I just said, that's what we need more of, you know, more people, yeah. Like you.
Well, a lot of people, yeah, get a camera and tell the story instead of just be like, oh, I'm going elk hunting. And then 2 weeks later, you post a picture of a big bull you shot.
Yeah.
Like, there's more to it than that. Like, if you go back to the bow shop or gun range or back to your buddy's house and you're having guys night, you're going to tell the whole story. Yeah. So tell everybody else.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good point. That's a good way to think about it. Cause like, that's what I'm going to have to remember for this fall. And I'm like, do I want to bring this DSLR with me while I'm hiking around? Or do I just want to leave it home? Cause I'm lazy. Something like, I need to, you know, carry it with me. Honestly, I mean, it's something that I need to do a better job of through my photography and whatnot. I'm kind of just a fair weather guy. If it's convenient, I'm going to take it. But, you know, I think a lot of us can probably benefit from that. It's like, you need to tell the story. Like, we need to showcase this in a certain light, and it'll help everybody. It's a win for everybody.
Yeah.
Well, sweet, man. What do you got coming down the pipe? Like, what's next for you? You got any other trips planned for this winter? Are you going to do any turkey hunting this spring? Traveling out of state for any of that? Doing any freelance work? What's going on?
Friday, Saturday, and so I have a coyote tournament this weekend coming up.
Nice.
So check-in is at Friday, and we go down to Kalamazoo and hang out there and kind of get the rules and stuff, and then go hunt from Friday night at like 7:30 to, and you have to check in Sunday morning, I think at 10. So it's kind of just a calling only, so you can go out and hunt pretty much 2 days straight, and then whoever shoots the most coyotes wins. There's like 160 teams, I think.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're going to be shooting a lot of stuff for that?
No, I don't know. It's probably just more of like a just for fun thing.
Yeah.
And then it's nice to take a break sometimes.
For sure.
And then turkey hunting, I'm going to definitely be pushing to try and get out and take a lot of pictures for that. Also, try and shoot a turkey. I missed one last year with my bow. I think I'm going to go in with a shotty this year.
Yep, knock them down.
Yep.
Sweet, man.
And then got the elk hunt planned sometime in September. Not sure where, but that'll be fun. It'll be definitely a lot more fun going with a bunch of people and take some pictures and whatnot, and hopefully take some whitetail pictures this fall. We'll see.
Yeah.
A lot of potential.
Lots on the agenda. And, you know, I know you've done some freelance work in the past, like you mentioned for Mark Kenyon at Wired to Hunt, but, what's the best way to kind of get a hold of you? Tell us about Instagram, social media, that stuff where people can connect with you if they want to reach out and maybe learn from you, but also, you know, maybe talk about maybe some of your freelance work as well.
Yeah, my Instagram is Charlie Williams, but actually double, like __ Charlie Williams. So there's that. And like I said, the website is under construction.
Yeah. And if people want to reach out to you, they can do that, right?
Feel free to message me, whatever.
Probably best way through Instagram. That way they can talk to you through there and then set something up if they want.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Schedule's
man.
Pretty open. So if anybody'd like to link up, collaborate, work together, hire me. I'm trying to get out of GM. So
there you go.
Feel free to hit me up.
Quit that day job.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, man. Well, sweet. Well, yeah, it's been fun, man. And pleasure talking with you. And let's see, this is the second time on your show. So now you're basically a Transition Wild podcast celebrity. But Joey's also been on the podcast too. So you're about the same rank as Joey twice.
Oh, man. You got to do that to me.
So we got to get you on one more time so you're better than him, right?
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Well, hey, I had fun chatting with you, and we'll talk at you soon. And thanks again for coming on.
Yeah, man. Thank you. Go take some pictures, bro.
All right, and there it is, another episode in the books. Big thanks to my buddy Charlie for coming on the show. Hope you guys were inspired by that. I mean, if you're looking to get into photography and start portraying, you know, your hunt and preserving those memories and telling the full story, I think there's nothing better than going out and getting a point and shoot or a DSLR and kind of getting started for yourself. And I know I'm inspired. And for me, you know, what I can do for 2019 this year is just start bringing the damn camera with me more. Suck it up, bring it out into the field, because you never know, you know, what you're going to capture. It's just one of those things with hunting and, you know, the trip of a lifetime, whether it's an elk hunt or a mule deer hunt or your first Western trip, it's important to preserve those memories. And, you know, Charlie offered a lot of advice and a lot of kind of inspiration to me and hopefully you guys as well. So thanks again for tuning in. If you're planning an elk hunt for 2019 and you're looking for a spot to stay and you don't want to do the, you know, full backcountry or road camping, all that stuff, hit me up. I've got a really sweet spot in Southwest Colorado. Charlie's hunted there. Dan the Man Johnson hunted there last year. I killed my bull there a couple of years ago. It's a badass spot. $625 per guy for a week stay at a cabin that's surrounded by the national forest. Private road, the access is sweet. You got accommodations. It's a really good advantage for a great price. So if you're interested in that, go to transitionwild.com, fill out the contact form, and put in the subject line elk camp. And we'll continue the conversation and love to have you out this fall if you're interested. All right, if you like what you're hearing, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, Transition Wild, on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Podbean, all those crazy places where you guys listen to this at. You can go to sportsmansnation.com. You can subscribe there. Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all that stuff. And, you know, again, if you're looking to hunt for 2019 for elk, I've got the guide still rolling, the Colorado Beginner Elk Hunting Guide. Go to my site, you subscribe, I will send you that for free. All right, I appreciate you tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon.